Thank you very much, Otis. I would like to welcome everyone who is tuned into the stream. You are listening to the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee, and I am going to call the official roll at this moment. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Catherine Davis is present. Benito Diaz.
Absent. He's not here tonight.
Yeah, James Dingman.
Here.
Okay. Anissa Faruqi. Absent. Steve Pride.
Here.
Eric Remy.
Present.
Larry Cliff Smith.
Yes, Cliff Smith is here. Yeah.
Thank. Oh, it's Cliff Smith. Okay. And Tom Voorhees.
Here.
Okie dokie. Maxie Jackson.
Present.
And I also would like to call and welcome our guest, Steve Zeltzer.
Here.
Thank you. We have quorum. I would like to appoint a timekeeper. Do we have our volunteer?
Sure, Catherine. Eric.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. And minutes. Do we have minutes to approve? I didn't see any.
No, not yet. I mean, I'm getting better, so I'll be able to work on them this week.
Okay, postponed. Any changes or additions to the agenda? Jim, I saw you sent a letter about a particular motion. What was the name of that motion?
That was the resolution on arts and cultural programming and international network local engagement. I wanted to get that into the mix tonight.
Okay.
I sent out to everybody a little while ago.
Okay. All right, and so I'm putting that under the discussion on moving forward. Does that work for you?
Fine, no problem.
Okay. So also on the agenda, we have coming up after the changes. Are there any other changes? We have a discussion on KPA video streaming. They're motion for video streaming, and it's being presented by Tom Voorhees and Steve Zeltzer from KPFA, and a discussion on moving forward, preparing a transfer of incomplete and or work in progress to the next committee. First up as part of that discussion will be the motion on resolution on arts and cultural programming. And we have a report and or recommendations from our executive director, Maxie Jackson, adjourned at 11 p.m. Are there any objections to the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing none, we will go to the first item on our agenda. Tom, would you like to start introducing the video streaming motion that we're wanting to take a look at?
Yeah, give me a couple of seconds here. My mouth's full of food here. I'm getting a late lunch.
Lunch. Okie dokie. Okay. Should we have Steve start the conversation? Or do you want to start?
Well, let me introduce Steve, I guess.
Okay.
Steve's also on the KPFA LSD and is really the principal author of the document that of this proposal. And I guess hopefully you all have read through this and have some understanding of it. And I'm thinking tonight is more to ask questions about what people may have in that I'm thinking that, you know, to really vote on it, we really need to write it up in a form that it applies to all five Pacifica stations. I'll give it to Steve and let him kind of set the stage a little bit. Are you ready, Steve?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Keeping in mind that we are on the stream, so the people listening won't know what you're talking about. So maybe you could give synopsis of what an overview.
So I produce a show called Work Week Radio at KPFA, and have been working many, many years on labor video and different media, and also working on developing streaming of labor events and other events. So basically, what I think is important is that Pacifica and KPFA and the stations, as much as possible, try to develop multimedia platforms on their stations. And obviously some stations are in better situation than others to do that. But I do think that there's tremendous potential for growth in Pacifica and the stations if they start to cover some of these events and live and start to integrate that into the programming. Now, a streaming channel, whether it's on YouTube or Facebook, I'll give an example. What's happening now is more and more unions around the United States are using Facebook to get their stories out. As everyone knows, there's been a massive reduction in reporters. So a lot of unions can't get coverage because of a lack of journalists to cover it. So unions, the teachers union, who had this mass wildcat strike in West Virginia and Arizona, Oklahoma, organized themselves using Facebook. And were able to get a lot of things that they were doing, their issues, and they're out using Facebook. The latest thing, there's a big strike here of the Oakland Education Association, 3,000 teachers in the East Bay, and the union has been using Facebook for their rallies, for their press conferences, for their for their actions, marches, and that kind of thing. So this is a good development as far as breaking the information blockade, which we at KPFM Pacifica need to support. So the idea of each station developing a channel, a streaming channel, would not be that it'd be 24-hour necessarily, but if there are rallies, if there are conferences, meetings that can be put on by people at the station or mirrored, that would be good. So when you mirror it, in other words, if you mirrored like a rally of the teachers' union, say you would just put on their URL from Facebook and then you go directly to their rally. And there are other national events that are happening, Women's Day, May Day. There are all kinds of national activities, and the idea would be is to develop a channel, the Pacifica channel, that when we have these events coming, like Women's Day, have programming as much as possible from around the country on a channel and try to work to develop people in these at the different stations who can have some programming that we can integrate it onto that channel. So for Women's Day, we could cover Women's Day around the country. I know there's going to be a full 24 hours of Women's Day programming or a large number of programming at KPFA. If some of that could be multimedia and on a Pacific channel, that would be excellent to build up the programming that we do. So that like requires one of the things that we proposed is that there be a camera in the studios. Not that programmers would be required to use it, but if a programmer wanted to stream their interviews while they're doing their program, that would be valuable to do, and it would attract viewers, audience. There are a lot of local community access programs that stream their programs, the interviews, and that kind of thing. And I think that should be a vehicle to help build an audience, and particularly among young people who are on their cell phone and who are looking for images, and having interviews is one way of getting more viewers for our stations. We presented this proposal, and we have an apprentice committee at KPFA. I talked with them. We had a couple of meetings and developed some proposals, and I think it's not something that could be exactly for Pacifica, but it lays out some ways to advance it. Now, the other thing is there are events like national events, so like commemoration of the Civil Rights Act that was in Washington that was held. That was on C-SPAN live. Now, an event like that would be appropriate to have on a streaming channel or mirrored on channels all over the country on Pacifica affiliates. So that people go to our website, they can, if they don't have cable TV, they can watch it on our channel. So I think it would be a low-cost vehicle for getting programming out. There are conferences. There's a LEFT conference in New York. If that's being programmed, that could be a way of fundraising. People could contribute to the WBAI or Pacifica, and we could say that we're helping to get that out. A lot of these conferences most people don't even know about, unless they're in the area or familiar with it. So there are things that are happening that we can cover, and we'll get an audience, and we'll build an audience, and then we can actually get financial contributions if it's done right. And you can do that with streaming. And I just want to end with, like, on the Eric Garner March in New York. Yes, for those in New York, they know about it. You had a march across Brooklyn Bridge, and 2 million people were watching this march on Ustream. Unbelievable amount of people watching the stream. Well, it was just a march. It wasn't a journalist actually interviewing people about why they were there. But that shows the potential of what could be if we can develop this channel with journalists and others interviewing people who are participating in things. Like, for example, we had demonstrations of several thousand people blocks away from the KPFA station protesting against the Nazis. If we've been able to stream that, which is possible, other stations do it, have interviews, have a booth, talk to people, why they're there, what's happening, we'll get an audience. The same with the teacher strike. So anyway, I see that as an avenue for working to develop a multimedia platform for Pacifica and the station. So that's basically it.
Ken to the stack.
Great. Jim to the stack.
Ken, and who else?
Jim.
Okay, I'm going to put myself on the stack as well. Ken.
Okay, the speaker was Steve Zeltzer,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so for the idiot class here, please specifically, very specifically define streaming and channel.
Well, you can have a channel like on YouTube, and you can have a channel where you have like pre-recorded or pre-edited videos, but you can also stream something live. Facebook.
So one second, slow down. I have YouTube accounts.
Yeah. Okay.
I can get 10 of them. I can say Howdy Doody, whatever I want. I can make
exactly
YouTube.
Yeah.
That's a YouTube account. What's the definition of a channel?
Well, a channel would be that. I mean, it would be a channel. Your channel is your YouTube videos, or the videos you upload to your channel. So that's what that is.
So it's, in other words, it's a place on some existing distribution system, whether it's YouTube or iTunes or anything that's out there, where you can slam an identity and load content on it.
Exactly.
That's what you're defining as a channel.
Exactly. A pre-recorded or live programming, yeah.
And what's the definition of streaming?
Well, streaming would be a live event that you'd stream directly onto the channel that's happening live.
Okay, so we have as an example, there's a WPFW programmer who just sets up his iPhone and streams his program
exactly
while he's broadcasting.
Exactly, yeah, that can be done, yeah.
Okay, so means live content going
live
onto
content.
A channel.
Exactly.
Onto a channel.
That's right.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jim?
Yeah, thank you, Steve, for joining us. We have a motion in the pipeline that broadly addresses all these issues, although yours, of course, was very specific. We passed a few weeks ago a video and audio streaming thing, so yours, of course, is more explicit. I'm just curious about what the cost factors are from your point of view. I work in both alternative and mainstream television for quite a while. I was working both in shows into networks and in a show that was put on daily at Free Speech TV. It was a whole setup we had in New York, and it was around the time when Amy was setting up her TV operation. My colleagues would go down there and sort of trade information with her. So I'm very conscious of the cost factor and also the question of video aesthetics, because I certainly agree with you that we should be able to just do static one-shot or two-shot shoots of events going on. But then, of course, we would go out and do we'd get three or four cameras out there and then edit something later. So what are your ideas about how much it costs to actually do this at KPFA? How much money would it cost? What's your idea about that?
Okay, well, at KPFA, we have an apprentice program, and the apprentices are very much interested in developing streaming. So there, you can do it with a cell phone. You can stream with the cell phone. I mean, you know, in fact, meetings are streamed with the cell phone. There was a teacher's rally, Northern California teacher's rally, that we streamed live, or we had a booth set up and we interviewed participants in the rally. And we paid a guy that helps out $200, $250. It was a professional stream. I mean, so we had equipment so that he wouldn't lose the signal. It was tied to other networks, and it was a high-quality stream. That would be like on TV. So we did that for $250. So it varies, but, I mean, having cameras in a studio is not a high expense. I mean, $1,000, $500,000, attaching a camera in the studio, and if the programmer wants to be videotaped while they're doing their program, while they're doing their interviewing, that's how much it would be. I mean, you would have to hook it up so that you can stream it. But there are small community access stations that are streaming their programmers doing interviews and that kind of thing. So it's not a high cost. It's something that's doable by the station.
Matthew, just that.
Now, a studio, I mean, we have studios. We have a studio in Los Angeles where that show is done. I mean, Democracy Now! Is done in a studio, and it would be good to have studios developed at the different stations, but that's obviously more of a cost. There's another part of this, which is in the proposal, is that if we digitalize our station from analog to digital, we'll get two additional channels. So that would allow more programming that we could present or have available to the public, both pre-recorded and maybe some live streaming. So that's another opportunity. Right now, KPFA is limited. We have KPFA and KPFB, but there could be more additional programming that would be available. But the cost would have to be basically how much can you afford. But there are a lot of young people, and possibly partnerships with colleges or something, or community access centers that are interested in partnering with our stations that might want to collaborate with us in a partnership, not a contract, a partnership, where they work with us to help provide content for our programming. So that's another avenue. There's not one thing for everything, you know, but that's another possibility that we might be able to look into. That's it.
Maxie to the staff.
Okay. Since my question was essentially the same as Jim, I'll go right to you, Maxie.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the presentation. Sounds real promising. I'm curious about two things. What type of programming are you finding to be most successful in terms of capturing audience? And then secondly, what are some of the tools that you're using to promote this these efforts that's generating audience as well?
Okay, so the most successful program that we've had on KPFA, live stream program, was a mass protest against a Zim ship, an Israeli ship, at the port of Oakland. And that got, you know, viewers from all over the world, including Palestine. I'll give you an example. We had a live streaming program on the climate march. There was a climate march here in San Francisco a couple of months ago, 30,000 people. And what we wanted to do is to work with the groups and organizations putting on the march, to partner with them so that they could announce it and put it all on their websites. And that way it would basically we'd be getting outreach through the organizations that are participating in the event. In this case, all kinds of climate organizations, nationally right. And locally. So that's the best way to really get the kind of publicity. And the other way of doing it is announcing it on the air that there will be programming available, and, you know, you can have a cart. If you want to watch this, you'll be able to watch it live. So it does take some publicity to build it up. But there, you know, for example, Women's Day. I mean, if we, it's a little, we could not do it now, but if you plan it several months ahead, you could get arranged to have programming from around the country and then publicize it nationally, a National Day of Women in the United States, women programming all over the country, and then put it together. The other thing is obviously depends on the kind of event that you're having. I mean, we're going to have mass protests in this country that are going to include large numbers of people, where people are going to be, their attention and the whole country is going to be focused on this. If we're in a position where we can provide programming, live programming, interviewing people and that kind of thing, we could get a tremendous audience using Facebook, Twitter, and other platforms to publicize that it's being live. A lot of the problem now with the live programming is it's not journalists. It's basically just somebody with a cell phone recording an event or something like that. What I'm proposing to do is we actually have our journalists or our reporters or whatever doing interviews and interacting with the people who are participating in the event and the speakers at the rally, that kind of thing, if that's an action.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Jim, to the stack?
Okay, Jim.
Yeah.
I'll come in after you.
All right. See, one of the things that I totally agree with an initiative like this. I remember in New York when we had the first massive outpouring of all the labor unions to protest Mayor Bloomberg. They were in the middle of a fund drive, and
Jim,
we were unable...
Jim, excuse me. Whoever just came in, you've got massive background noise there. If you can... Okay, Jim, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Just trying to... this is Sabrina. Thanks.
All right,
okay, so please mute. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember there was a massive labor rally in New York that brought out all the unions to oppose Bloomberg. And we were in the middle of a fundraising drive, and we could not stop and deal with it, or they chose not to. And here is a perfect example of how this kind of technology would be able to handle it. Also, people forget that back in the 70s, basically – Pacifica stations acted like a left-wing C-SPAN. I mean, that's what they used to do. And I know in this case that's in front of the Supreme Court with Dede Halleck against Manhattan Neighbor Network, she was a filmographer at Winter Soldier in 1971 in Detroit when that was filmed and put on the air. So this is something I think that's very important for us to consider. I also would consider that... there are plenty of videographers in every signal area. I can think of at least three in New York City who have always been sympathetic to BAI, and we could probably twist their arms to come and participate and do stuff like this on the cheap. And finally, there are all sorts of conferences going on that are filmed in New York City and the tri-state area. I can think of at Yale every year. They have a conference on slavery, and the person who runs it, David Blight, I don't know if he's going to get the Pulitzer for his new biography of Frederick Douglass, but he's somebody who's very sympathetic to us down here in New York, and stuff like that would be useful to share with the rest of the country. Also in Berkeley, that whole group at Cal does studies the right wing, they had an amazing conference on the Tea Party in 2007-2008. Which should have been on a channel like this for the whole country to see and the Pacific audience to see. So I think this is a great idea. It's certainly along the lines of what we've been thinking about here in New York. The question is, how do we implement it? That's the key thing.
Okay. I'm going to put myself on the stack. I'm Catherine. My question is if you have given any thought to having an independent streaming channel that would stand apart from both YouTube and Facebook. And the reason I bring this up is because on those platforms, there's been the onset of a lot of censorship of different modes of speech. And so it would seem that if not at the beginning, at some point, if we take this path, Pacifica would want its own so-called YouTube channel. And I was wondering if you had given that any thought, or if you had any sense of what that would cost and what the technology would be.
Well, having your own independent channel separate from Vimeo or other platforms would be an expense to put together. It can be done. I understand the danger of censorship and monitoring by Facebook and YouTube and all these channels. I mean, they operate commercially. They want to know who their viewers are and what's happening. So I'm in favor of the development of independent platforms that we run and we organize, and that may happen. But one of the things we have to understand is most people are not on those platforms, and we want to get out to the broadest number of people. So even if we had an independent platform, I would want to see us arrange so that our programming would be mirrored on other platforms like Facebook and YouTube. So we could have mass, audience for our programming. So again, I'm for an independent platform that we run, that we develop. But right now I know that would be a cost that would be out of cost of Pacifica at this point, but it's something we should develop. But the other thing is, this project, if it begins to develop, something that we might be able to raise money for directly. There might be people who would like to have something like this platform happen, because it's like an alternative media platform with all kinds of things that is hard to get, or you have to know about them, or that kind of thing. So there might be people or contributors who might be willing to contribute to something like this channel that we're developing, and make a special fund for the development of this channel. And that would be another fundraising thing. So another thing about events, if we do have events like these conferences or things like that we are able to either mirror or record, it can be a fundraiser. We can ask people to contribute to the station and Pacifica. Because we're doing this, we're providing this service or this this content. So that's another fundraising possibility.
Catherine, this is Eric.
You.
May I go to the stack, Catherine, please?
Yeah, you're next, Eric. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask the speaker, you mentioned the pledge drive in terms of possibly being a factor and not the inability to cover an event, if I'm not mistaken. Why would the fund drive or the pledge drive be an obstacle?
No, I don't think the pledge drive would be an obstacle. Actually, for example, there's this big strike taking place in Oakland. If we had a channel, or if we were streaming and interviewing people at the rallies on our channel, separate from the pledge drive, we could use that as a vehicle to get teachers and others to contribute to KPFA. We could say we have our regular programming that we're trying to raise funds for. At the same time, we're covering the struggle of the teachers, the students in Oakland. We're doing interviews there, and this is something that we're providing, and we want you to contribute to KPFA and Pacifica to provide this kind of content. So it would actually bring in the teachers and teachers' unions all over. I mean, if we'd done that in Los Angeles, it's possible we could have gotten a lot of content in and support from the teachers in Los Angeles. Since I focused on labor, I mean, I think the unions are looking for ways that they can get their stories out, and they're not dependent on CNN and corporate media. We can provide that vehicle where we cover their press conferences, we interview them, and we do it extensively, so their members are going to get the full story of what's going on and not be dependent on what commercial,
Okay, I was asking because it occurs to me that this could be done on the same stream or done simultaneously on the very same stream.
It's possible. if people want to if you wanted to have like a live stream and a fundraising, that's possible to do. I mean, you know, a lot of people get excited about the fact that you're covering something live. I mean, KPFA in its heyday during the 60s covered like Sproul Plaza rallies live, and people all over the Bay Area, you know, love that. I mean, to have these kind of actions and rallies live, and having that would be a obviously a way of increasing membership and support for KPFA and Pacifica. But they don't happen all the time where you're going to have an event that everybody's going to be focused on. But when you have an important event going on in which all eyes are focused on this, to have Pacifica, to have the stations covering that live, to have interviews of what's going on from the stories, that's a very powerful thing.
Okay. Anyone else want to ask a question or to contribute a thought on this topic?
Well, Tom just wanted to say one additional thing, that and that is, in order for Pacifica to compete in today's alternative media landscape, we really need to bring video streaming in to be able to do that. Otherwise, I'm really afraid that Pacifica is going to get left even further behind than it is now. So that's all I had to say.
Maxie to the stack.
Okay.
Yeah, Jim to the stack.
Yes. Okay, Maxie then Jim.
Yeah, I want to endorse much of what was said by the speaker. I think this is a great subject, and I think our attention is peaked because we recognize there's some opportunity. I do want to pause in one respect, though. I don't think there's a... I know we've spoken on this fear, if we're not involved in this, that it could be the end of Pacifica or leave us far behind. There are a lot of radio industry and players who are highly successful who have not engaged deeply in video production as something to complement what they do on the radio side. I see value in this. I think it's certainly worthwhile, and I think we can do it in a low-cost way that could have serious upside. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form poo-pooing on this idea. I just want us to not get so caught up in this notion that it's a do-or-die affair for us. There, like I said, plenty of models where video is not part of the equation, and those media outlets are highly successful at what they do.
Okay. Jim?
Yeah, I agree with Maxie on that. I mean, I don't think it's a silver bullet. The question of monetization is a tough one, because we know that sometimes when the stuff is given out for free, it basically can come back in monetization down the road. However, when I look at how young journalists are being trained, and that gets back to one of the resolutions we've actually have passed about working with the universities and journalism schools, all these people are being trained in not only recording sound but shooting video, and learning how to mix that together. And I can think of film schools in the Bay Area or Los Angeles or New York who would have students who would be, this is a whole new dimension of people who know how to shoot. And I'm talking about, you know, there is a skill to cinematography and videography, having worked with people who have those skills for many years. So I think we shouldn't not be hesitant to start to experiment with this kind of stuff and see how it works, and see if they're more capable of doing it at KPFA, fine. We can certainly enlist people here in New York who have those skills. The key thing is to keep, you know, the main thing is the content on the air is the most important thing to reform and change. That's where our bulk of our money comes from, 80% of our money at this point. And that's still, to me, the thing the most that should be concentrated on to improve. However, these kind of efforts are only going to supplement what we do. And I agree that if you look at all the polling data about young people and media, this is where they're going. And so we got to get our feet wet in the water on this as soon as possible. And I agree with this whole implementation of an issue like this.
Okay.
Catherine, I'm sorry, this is Eric. Did you want to put a time limit on the segment?
Let's see. Did I put a time limit? I think I had put down 30 minutes.
Okay, good.
Are we about 30 minutes yet?
We're a quarter after the hour. I would think we have 5 or 10 minutes more, I would think.
Okay.
I think we have about 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I'm sorry.
About 5 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to ask a question and see what the response would be. And that would be, what are we or anyone suggesting would be the next step? Are you, Jim, suggesting that we adopt this particular motion for all of Pacifica? Or is this just an exploratory conversation? Are we going to move forward on this in some fashion? So that's the question. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
Max, to the stack.
All right, Jim to the stack.
Yeah. Eric to the stack.
Okay.
Well, Eric will drop off because we're limited, so I'll drop off. Sorry, Catherine. Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay. Eric, you said you were going to drop off?
You can keep him on.
Yeah,
I might be brief.
Maxie.
Yeah, I'll try to be real brief so I can get in. I'm a big advocate for doing what's called low-res prototyping. I think what would be excellent is for KPFA to continue with its program, its apprenticeship program. I think that's what it was referenced as, to provide some demonstration models of successful efforts and share that with the program directors at our station so that they can choose to adopt some of the tactics and techniques with the notion that, you know, I think everyone would aspire to replicate, particularly if the model is successful. So that's one way to look at it. It's one way I would endorse it. I don't think it's a good idea for us to try to mandate an effort towards this when we have an opportunity for it to be done a bit more organically.
Okay. Jim?
Well, we passed a resolution that is sort of going up the chain of command here about video and audio streaming. It's a general resolution. This is a more specific initiative. And I personally think we should back this. And again, given the kind of comments made about, you know, seeing how it can work, what can be taken from it and learned from it, you know, we really want to encourage initiatives like this in every single signal area. And I know that we have people in every signal area who have the ability to do these kind of things. I know in New York we do. So, you know, I would just want to back it. You know, it can be modified. It's going to be modified anyway. You know, Maxie, this first time he saw it, just to let you know, Steve, we've been very blessed with having Maxie involved with us because Maxie will come and give some particular specific pushbacks on these kind of points. But I think it's overall, everybody will agree, it's been very useful and effective to have him here. But I personally think we should back an initiative like this and let's give our blessing to it. Let's move it forward. And then, you know, other people can come in with other initiatives in their other signal areas similar to this, because we do know that video and multimedia are going to, I mean, statistically, it's a fact that all the polling data shows that that kind of stuff actually increases listening and audience, and certainly with Generations D and Millennials, it is preferred.
Okay. I'll take about 25
seconds.
All right,
seconds. Eric. Okay, go ahead, Eric.
I was going to respond to, not so much respond to, but Maxie seemed to be saying this is not something that should be mandated. I literally think, I mean, I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. We need to do something radical at this point. And I wouldn't want to, say, impose a concept on the PDs. We need to do something. You know, it can't just be more of the same. We're in a holding pattern, you know, and we just can't land, or, you know, we're stuck on the runway and can't take off. You know, I would like to really see this become a reality, and I wouldn't want it to be a situation where it would take forever to do it. I mean, it's a very, I won't say avant-garde type of idea, but it's something that's desperately needed, you know. And if it can be implemented, if it could be implemented and brought in within the next 6 months, that would be excellent.
If I may respond, Captain.
Okay.
What I always want to encourage this group to guard against is what I would consider an overreaction and even an overreach. First of all, I think it's a bit dramatic to say that we urgently or desperately need to do this or to enter into this arena. NPR, for example, does very little video production, but they're an extremely successful broadcast radio operation. Most of the stations that are NPR stations, very few of them are really deeply engaged in this kind of video production, and yet in their markets, they're highly successful. So, again, as I was saying earlier, I think a lot of this is great. I think we should try to focus our efforts on what would be best practices for Pacifica stations to implement this. If we use KPFA as a test market, as a model for finding out what works best, those best practices can be replicated with a knowing that we're not wasting energy or trying to do things that are not necessarily going to be fruitful when we have some opportunity to use KPFA's effort as a way to model for us what can be done. It can also teach us about community engagement, which is a lot of what was spoken of. I'm highly in favor of what this is. I think this is something that could be highly useful. I don't believe that our stations are prepared to do this. We barely do radio broadcasting with best practices or web. So to jump to video production, I think, is a bit of an overreach for our stations, considering the condition they're in and the resources they're working with. So let's test the concept. Let's find out what best practices are, how best to implement it as a Pacifica station, and then roll that out. That's my suggestion.
Sabrina to the stack.
Ken, Steve.
Ken to the
Sabrina
stack.
To the stack. Sabrina to the stack.
Hold on. Sabrina. So before we go any further, we will need to extend time on this discussion. So is there any objection to extending time? Maybe 20 minutes? Okay, hearing none. All right, Sabrina, and then Tom, was it? Okay.
I would place. I don't remember the order.
Okay, Sabrina, and then Tom.
And then Jim, and Ken. Ken to the staff.
And Steve.
Oh, it was Ken that I heard? Okay, go ahead.
And Steve,
I'd like to respond.
And
yeah.
Steve. Oh, okay. All right, so Sabrina, Ken, and Steve. Go ahead, Sabrina.
And Cliff,
I think I have to definitely echo the same sentiment that Maxie just presented on. There's so many other things that we need to be doing. That we should have been doing yesterday or last week or months ago, as far as our programming is concerned. I don't think there is this urgency to jump right into this, and that is what this particular motion is advocating. So maybe if we can take it back to the drawing board as far as rewriting it so it doesn't seem so urgent, so it doesn't seem like such a blanket mandate on the national level, then that would be something that's acceptable and that I would vote for. Thank you.
Okay, Steve. I'm sorry, Ken.
No, I think Tom was next.
Oh, Tom. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I want to propose that as Maxie was starting to lay out, that maybe we write a short little proposal to set up the KPFA apprentice program as a test bed for this. Can we get the committee to approve of writing a proposal to do that? And I believe Steve and myself would probably be willing to do that if everybody concurs.
I would suggest personally that you do that. I mean, it will pass or fail, but certainly submit it.
And you can count on my assistance.
Want to answer to that? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Maxie would certainly assist if desired.
Okay. Ken?
Okay, yeah. I agree with Tom. Go write the proposal, pilot it at KPFA. The one thing that we seem to be overlooking is existing activity. I know Rising Up with Sonali is on TV somewhere, so she's broadcasting. When you talk about streaming on different channels, like YouTube, or there's a new one called BitChute, BitChute.com, where people are going because they got knocked off of YouTube, as Kathy said, you're in an arena where you may be subject to activities which you're not familiar with. You may get comments. You may get attacks. All kinds of things. You may get copyright infringement. So these are issues which you can discover by discussing it with people who are already streaming on a channel. And whether it's TV or audio, anybody who's, we have six people. If you go to a Podcast Addict or any Stitcher or anything else and just put in the call letters of a station, KPFA, KPFK, WBAI, WPFW, KPFT, you will see podcasts that have come up that are from shows that we're broadcasting. I'm not saying the stations are posting those podcasts, but the programmers are. So those programmers have experience with streaming and channels. And we can find out with that from them, you know, if somebody wants to do this, we don't have to break our neck trying to learn how to ice skate. We can talk to people who will say, this is the procedure. This is the way you go about it. These are the pitfalls you should look out for. This is the way you get publicity. This is the way you get audience. This is the kind of events you want to cover. We have that knowledge within our network. People are already doing this. So we don't have to jump in and, you know, somebody could come in. I could come out to this meeting and say, we've got to make a movie. People are making lots of money with movies. Everybody goes to watch the movies. Why don't we make a movie? You know, I mean, it sounds silly, right? Okay. But we... So this is correct. It's a gradient step out of radio and to get into more of the digital arena. But we only have people who have one or two feet in there. So a very popular one is Brad Blog. He broadcasts. He makes five shows a week. He's very high. He gets a lot of listeners on his podcasts. We just discussed this with these people and find out from them, you know, if they want to give us advice or act as a tutor or whatever, you know, a monitor, somebody to manage somebody, and then set it up, as Maxie says, please, let's do a pilot program to cut the loss, okay, if there's going to be loss. And so that the next time we go in, the second station goes in with more knowledge and more experience. There's no need to have five programs creating chaos. And I also agree, we're a radio station. Those efforts, we can increase our listenership by improving our programming. That's all we have to do. Improve the programming and some other business things, which I believe management very well intends to do. So it's not like we have to start selling tacos or painting houses or putting on musical comedies. We just have to do radio and do it better. And but we can go into this streaming, get into the digital universe. Absolutely, it's increasing. Oh, but I just saw an article today. Radio is still king, even with the millennials. Radio is still king. I'll send it out to you right now. But
okay,
so,
Steve.
So
okay.
We can do that, but I just want to make the point. Once again, we already have people that are successfully streaming audio and video. So we can go to them to find out what the procedures are, copyright restrictions, what are the positive things to do and the pitfalls to avoid. And I mentioned the names of those people. Thank you. I'm going to send you an email.
Steve?
Yeah,
Yeah, I was going to say this is a working proposal. So, with some ideas on collaborating with the people who are doing this work already. And I agree with the previous speaker. People are doing some of this work at different stations. We have programs, Democracy Now! And Sonali's, that are already being broadcast. So this is already being done. But I do think we should set up a working committee that within Pacifica that actually wants to help to develop and organize this work. And that's what is required if you're going to do it. And I think if Maxie is interested in doing that, that's great. It has to be done collectively, and we have to work with as many people as we can. There is, and the apprentice committee, the apprentices at KPFA are already doing this work. They did stream this climate march and rally live, but one of the problems is a political problem. And I'll just be honest about it. The present management at KPFA are against streaming. They've said they don't want to do streaming, live streaming. So we have an obstacle in that regard. And for
did
whatever
they give you a reason
they may
why?
Feel, what?
Did they give you a reason why?
They say that we don't have the resources, we don't have the money, and they have to focus on audio. They want to focus on audio. So I understand that. You know, I mean, that's the position. But frankly, I don't think we can move forward. Pacifica can move forward and our stations can move forward without developing a multimedia digital content platform. And what I can do is send some of this streaming that's been done so the people in the other stations can get an idea of events that we've done, that we've streamed live. But this is not an ultimatum. It's like a working committee that tries to develop this. And it's not one size fits all. People do things differently, have different skills, have different talents. So it's bringing together people in different areas who are doing this and collaborating. I do think one thing that we could do is say that for like May Day, for example, we're going to have a live streaming May Day and try to have content from the different stations of May Day events that are happening in their area. And make that a project, a work project for something to do on this channel. The other thing is, I think Pacifica channel or the Pacifica website should have a channel that we have. And then if we do have live events at any of the Pacifica stations, those live events could be on that channel, could be mirrored on that channel. That's something that could be done. It would encourage maybe the stations to do more live programming, streaming, and that kind of thing.
All right, Jim, to the stack.
Okay, I want to, if you don't mind, Jim, respond to what Steve just said, because that is very much what I was thinking as we were having this conversation, that if Pacifica had an established Facebook, YouTube channel that covered the network, then that means that anybody who's already doing this would be able to bring it to a central point. And also, all the producers who are already podcasting or streaming, all of those shows from all across the network could also be mirrored on whatever that station might be, and it would begin to cross-pollinate very organically what's already going on instead of people working separately. Being able to work together with what's already happening. So that's what I wanted to say. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, some of the most powerful programming that Pacifica ever did historically was the kind of stuff that Steve's talking about, going over to Sproul Plaza. If I recall, those Berkeley teach-ins were made into records, 33 and a third records, and sold as separate items in New York. Some of the most powerful stuff ever done was the audio of demonstrations in the 60s. Now, in terms of being able to move into this, I know in New York, we were very lucky to be five blocks away from the occupation of Zuccotti Park. And in that period, myself and other people went down there and watched what was going on, talked to the people doing the streaming, talked to the people doing the videography. And I have absolutely no doubt that with a couple of weeks of calling and mobilizing and getting people motivated to do this kind of stuff, bingo, we could have some of this going on right away. And I don't think that the traditional programming, usually when we're talking about preempting shows, a lot of people freak out. And the best way to avoid that is to simply say, hey, here's a separate channel where we're covering a live event in motion, which is so powerful. And I just think that, you know, some people, I don't know what it's like in Berkeley. I know here in New York it would not be a difficult sell with the management here to get this going, in particular if we could figure out a way to keep the costs low or keep the costs non-existent at all, which I think we could do. But I think we know enough streamers who are doing the stuff at Occupy, enough videographers who are friends of the station, we could enlist into a project like this and probably get something implemented pretty fast. So I think that it's something we should move on. I don't think it's the silver bullet. I think the audio content on the air is the most important thing to change. But as far as I'm concerned, this kind of stuff, you know, we got to take the plunge into the 21st century. We just can't sit there. We got to take that cannonball dive. We can't sit and hold back anymore. And that's what I think we have to do.
Who just spoke? I'm sorry. Was that you, Jim?
That was Jim.
That was me.
Okay.
Steve, Pride to the Stack.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Steve, Pride to the Stack.
Oh, yes. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, that was quick. I can't obviously speak for other stations, but we at KPFK have the equipment. We actually have someone that was hired to do this, and I have done concert, I did a yearly concert where we stream from Studio A. So we can do it, like, starting tomorrow, but there's no will. If we have some sort of resolution that says this is the direction the national program pretty wants to go in, I think maybe that would help.
Captain, this is Eric.
Okay.
If I can wait for a second.
Okay,
okay.
Eric.
Yeah, I don't know who that was that just spoke just now, but
Steve Pride.
I mean, yeah, Steve and Jim. Yeah, some of us have the capability to do a rollout virtually within 72 hours. I mean, it's not absolute, not for 100% of the programming. Some of the stations have the capability to do that now. And, you know, there seems to be at least some very good support to have that done. I mean, I think what Steve said, it takes some will to do it. Some of us can start a rollout within 72 hours. You know, quite frankly, as you said, some of the stations are already doing it on a limited degree. So, you know, we should, the stations that are willing to do it or have that capability, I mean, I would think that would, they could serve as the model.
Okay. Okay.
Maxie, I just want to, you know, suggest that we need to think about quality control. We should think about, you know, what kind of content are we putting. Not everything that is made is worthwhile to put on a video service or on a Pacifica KPFK channel. As Ken said, anybody can produce stuff. The question is it good enough? Is it worthy? Does it speak to a programming mission that we might have? And I, you know, I'm dead set against this sort of public access approach. I think we should have purpose. I think we should have a quality and a voice with the programming that we articulate in this manner. There's a lot of terrible stuff on radio, on video, on television, streaming. There's a lot of terrible stuff. I don't think we want the Pacifica brand to be associated with that. So the capability is not the issue. The question is, what are we putting on? What's the quality of it? And how are we marketing and promoting it with like-minded individuals so that there's actual audience? So just keep that in mind as you think this through.
Well, Jim,
here.
Okay. Anyone else in the stack?
Madam Chair, we have about two minutes left in this segment.
All right, 2 minutes. All right, well, anyone else? Otherwise, we'll go on to the next item. And
Catherine?
Yes.
How are you going to resolve this? I mean, is it just in advance,
well,
or how are we going to approach this?
Well, that's a good question. That's why I had asked that earlier. And so thus far, we have